Welcome to Barely Audible Whisper, a weekly NPR parody podcast in no way associated with NPR, brought to you in no part by the following parody sponsors.
The Puerto Rican Institute for Linguistics, studying the new meaning of the phrase incredible unsung success, because incredible unsung success clearly no longer actually means incredible unsung success.
The Correct Assessment of Competence Committee for Correctly Assessing Competence, reminding President Trump that doing great work in Puerto Rico would have first required doing any work in Puerto Rico.
And Trump-branded Marie Antoinette paper towels, the perfect paper towel to toss at cake-eating peasants. Other paper towels are all the same, but Trump-branded Marie Antoinette paper towels are indifferent.
I am Dave.
And I am Molly, and if our voices were any more muted, they would be Trump's response to Puerto Rico.
At the time of this recording, Hurricane Florence is about to make landfall on the Carolinas. We have no way of specifically knowing the extent of the damage that will be caused by the storm, but by the time you are actually listening to this, the effects of the storm will be well known.
While we cannot predict the effects of the storm, we can predict the way the storm will be covered on cable news.
You're listening to Barely Audible Whispers live, breaking, exclusive, extensive, up-to-the-minute, continuous, complete, comprehensive storm tracking, storm coverage of Stormy Weather Watch 2018.
For sensationalist footage that adds no value to your understanding of the story, we go live to an ambitious reporter who you've never heard of, who is desperately trying to make a name for himself by yelling into cameras while being pummeled by the storm.
I'm coming to you from where winds are reaching dangerous speeds and rain is pelting me like steel nails falling rapidly from the sky, and the waves are breaking with deadly force right in front of me.
It sounds like you're just making storm sound effects with your mouth.
Thunder, thunder! I can barely hear you over the deafening crush of the raging storm, but if you are insinuating that I am sitting comfortably in a hotel room while faking the dangerously punishing sounds of an enraged Mother Nature, you are mistaken!
Sounds like the room service you ordered has arrived.
Again, I can barely hear you over the intense volume of imminent death. But I assure you that the knocking you heard was debris knocking against stuff. Hurricane force winds are blowing locked doors wide open.
Here is the surf and turf and champagne you ordered through Barely Audible Whispers credit card.
The wind is blowing so loudly it almost sounds like human voices having a conversation about room service that is way over my per diem allowance.
What the hell are you doing?
Testing the very depths of the human will to survive.
This is a grave breach of journalistic ethics.
It's a podcast. Nobody can see where I really am. Besides, torturing reporters by forcing them to stand in the middle of a hurricane isn't journalism. It's workplace abuse.
You're fired.
Who's going to pay for all this food?
Just still charge the card, honey.
Here to help you better understand the aspects of the storm you already understand by explaining things that don't need to be explained is a condescending expert using unnecessarily convoluted frames of reference.
A storm like this can produce waves as large as 80 feet high. To compare that to something you might be familiar with, that's as high as an 8-story building. Or to put it more simply, it's as high as 8 1-story buildings stacked on top of each other. Or even more simply, if you stacked a 3-story building on top of a 4-story building and then added an additional 1-story building.
Those sound like extremely high waves.
I mean, imagine 4 2-story buildings or 2 4-story buildings or, well, 3 2-story buildings and a 2-story building.
What about the wind speed?
We're dealing with speeds of up to 150 miles per hour or faster. To put that in perspective, consider that turtles move very slow, but cheetahs, they move very fast.
In a failed effort to put this story in a larger context, we will now bring in a climate scientist who will get immediately drowned out by partisan bickering.
The effects of global climate change are, as has been predicted, causing an increase in both the quantity and destructiveness of hurricanes.
If so-called global warming is really so-called globally warming, the so-called warmer globe, how come it still snows in the winter?
weather and climate are
just
not...
more anti-science rhetoric from the anti-science agenda of anti-science Republicans. Republicans are so anti-science, they won't even listen to the scientist whose point I just cut off.
So-called global warming is a hoax made up by so-called environmentalists who hate all oil companies because Hillary.
The research is actually
Since you refuse to listen to the scientific data I keep interrupting, then answer this. How come hurricane season keeps getting more destructive?
God is punishing us for gay marriage. And the estate tax.
There is no...
You voted for Hillary, therefore your point is not valid.
Trump sucks!
And now for something almost as useless as what passes for debate, let's check in with our meteorologist, who will uselessly explain the hurricane by referencing data points from high-tech equipment without bothering to explain what the data points actually measure or how the equipment works.
As you can tell by looking at our Doppler radar barometric high-def wireless 3D graphic sonar satellite sensory imagery projections, there's a large, dangerously red blob surrounded by a less dangerous, but still very dangerous, orange circumference, dotted with less dangerous, still, but still slightly dangerous drops of yellow.
What does that mean?
Obviously, the red blob is the worst possible color blob on the color-coded blob system of our color-coded blobs. However, don't be lulled into a false sense of security by orange circumference surrounding the red blob. Orange circumferences are very dangerous. Dozens of people die in orange circumferences every year because of the false sense of security they feel by not being caught up in a red blob. Dotted drops of yellow are likely to cause yellow dots of dotted property damage, but are not considered life-threatening.
What is the storm likely to do next?
As you can see by looking at our Doppler radar barometric high-def wireless 3D graphic sonar satellite sensory imagery projections, we have 15 equally plausible models, all of which predict completely different things.
In other words, you don't know.
Predicting what a hurricane is likely to do next is an inexact science, which means there are too many variables for science to accurately account, because by definition, an inexact science is not science.
So why don't you just admit that and stop wasting everybody's time with all of these useless models?
Because Doppler radar barometric high-def wireless 3D graphic sonar satellite sensory imagery projections are expensive. If we admitted that our Doppler radar barometric high-def wireless 3D graphic sonar satellite sensory imagery projections were useless, then the people who pay for our Doppler radar barometric high-def wireless 3D graphic sonar satellite sensory imagery projections would stop buying us Doppler radar barometric high-def wireless 3D graphic sonar satellite sensory imagery projections.
By the time you listen to this, the damage from the storm will have been done and people will be suffering. So please give what you can to the disaster relief and do what you can to help the victims.
Because if we've learned anything from Puerto Rico, it's that President Trump doesn't give a shit.
It's been more than a full week since the New York Times published an explosive editorial written by an anonymous member of the Trump administration,
Mike Pence,
that was sharply critical of President Trump. And the identity of the anonymous writer remains a mystery.
It's Mike Pence. Who else would use Lodestar?
The unknown author,
Mike Pence,
claims that a group of unnamed Trump administration officials,
led by Mike Pence,
are secretly working to undermine the president's worst impulses. For more on this story, Barely Audible Whisper sent an anonymous reporter.
The reporter's name is Corey Burns.
To interview
Mike Pence.
Mike Pence.
Hello, I'm a Barely Audible Whisper anonymous correspondent.
Corey Burns.
And I'm speaking to Mike Pence about accusations that...
I'm not gay.
I didn't ask.
In fact, I'm so not gay that my wife, Mother, has to be present for this interview because you're a woman, and I'm so not gay that I cannot be alone with a woman without my wife, Mother, being present, lest we engage in some sort of inappropriately not gay things.
Ew.
I protect my husband, Father, against unholiness, the way the hair on a man's face protects against the cold. You might say I'm his beard.
I totally say that.
If I were gay, why would I make such forceful pronouncements against gay people?
Excellent point, Father.
Thank you, Mother. You are my rock, and I am sexually attracted to your vagina.
I don't care if you're gay or not. I just want to know if you wrote the anonymous New York Times editorial.
If I wrote the editorial, why would I make such forceful pronouncements against the editorial?
Flawless logic, Father.
Thank you, Mother. You are a good Christian wife, and that is why my heterosexual penis enjoys your woman vagina.
Methinks you doth protest too much.
My God, Mother, this unholy journalist is speaking in tongues.
The foul temptress is possessed of the devil. Thank God I am dutifully by the side of my heterosexual husband to fend off the heterosexual sinfulness of her heterosexual tongues.
No, that was a quote from Shakespeare about people who make a lot of noise to hide their own guilt.
Guilt? Only gay men and cowardly authors of slanderous editorials against the president have reasons to feel guilt. But I am a fiercely heterosexual, loyal servant of my lord and Trump.
For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Trump, that whosoever shall believe in Trump shall not fake news, but will receive eternal tax cuts.
This is too weird. I don't even care about the stupid editorial, which you obviously wrote.
God anointed President Trump to be our president because President Trump is exactly like God.
I love it when you preach the word of Trump, Father. It makes my vagina tingle with the Holy Spirit.
Ew.
Ew.
I mean, I'm not gay, so I take pleasure in the righteous tingling of your woman vagina.
Ew. Ew.
I meant to say I obediently submit to your husbandly will, as is the pious wifely duty of a pious wifely wife. But for some devilish reason, it came out as ew.
This is gross.
President Trump is exactly like the God of the Old Testament. He is jealous, petty, cruel, and prone to impulsive fits of rage.
Amen. Trump killed more people in Puerto Rico than God killed in the Great Flood.
God turned Lot's wife, who was referred to simply as Lot's wife, into a pillar of salt because she looked back in compassion at the destroyed city where everyone she had ever known or cared about had just perished. Isn't that the epitome of the kind of irrational, sexist, and completely nonsensically impulsive cruelty you would expect from President Trump?
Amen. After Adam and Eve both ate the apple, God blamed the woman for tricking the man.
And what grave sin had Adam and Eve committed? They sought true knowledge. Is there anything more Trumpian than punishing the people he created in his own narcissistic image for the sin of seeking true information?
Yes, blaming it on the woman.
Amen.
Ugh! The only thing scarier than the reality of President Trump is the possibility of President Pence. We need a lodestar that points us the way out of here.
See? Lots of people use the word lodestar. The word lodestar doesn't prove I wrote the editorial. Even the lodestar of that sinful journalist was a lodestar that led her to use the word lodestar. Lodestar.
Lodestar.
Campaign staffers work hard to make sure that whenever a camera is pointed at a politician, the scene behind him conveys the image they want to present.
In a rally in Montana last week, Trump's staff failed to control the optics, as the young man now known to the internet as Plaid Shirt Guy was placed directly behind the president.
Plaid Shirt Guy, who we now know as a social democrat named Tyler Linfesti, spent much of Trump's speech mugging for the cameras.
Or, depending on who you ask, simply reacting honestly to an orange blowhard spewing bullshit.
We take you now inside the control room of the campaign staff in Montana.
Dapperling?
Yes, boss?
Your team was in charge of the seating behind the podium, correct?
Yes.
Notice anything missing?
That kid in the plaid doesn't have any Trump gear or signs?
Good observation, but not what I was looking for.
Oh, Mrs. Amanita!
Yes, little white?
They're all white.
Precisely.
Oh, yeah.
See the problem?
I mean, it's Montana.
Still, you gotta get one back there. What about the Blacks for Trump guy? Love that guy. He's been with us since Arizona, Florida. Why not Montana?
Yeah, it turns out that guy is a conspiracy theorist.
What's the problem there?
He has claimed that Hillary plotted with ISIS and MS-13 to kill all American women.
So far, so good.
And that Obama was endorsed by the KKK.
Black Klansmen too, the president. Love it.
And that Cherokee Indians were the real slave masters.
That one's a bit off message.
And he was a follower of a cult leader.
A loyal follower of a person with a strong message. How is that
a cult of primarily black members who killed over a dozen white people.
Damn shame. Having a black guy with a Blacks for Trump shirt in multiple states created the illusion that there are multiple blacks who support Trump. If you're racist enough to not recognize that it's the same guy, what's he doing? He keeps whispering to his friend.
Who?
A plaid shirt guy.
Also, they didn't chant USA. Everyone else did.
Should we do something?
What do we know about this guy?
He cleared a basic background check and he's 17?
That's it? It seems like we should know more about these people. Russell, you've worked on other campaigns before. What do people usually do?
It's a thorough vetting process, and the seats behind the president are often reserved for campaign donors or volunteers. People who are clearly committed to the president, so there are no surprises.
And what did we do, Dapperling?
I looked at his Twitter page.
That's it? How was he chosen?
Little White gave me a bunch of options to choose from, and I tried to get a good mix.
Little White?
Well, most of the people who were interested were white guys with big beards, so I had plenty of them, and several white women who reminded me of Mama, and then I just sort of grabbed anyone who didn't look like those people. Plaid shirt guy's friend looks like she might be part something, and she wanted a free hat, so I figured she was good. I got that little kid behind the bearded teenager who keeps shuffling her two signs around and holding them up for no apparent reason at any given time. Dude in the tie down there got him. I figured maybe somebody should be dressed nice.
Plaid shirts guy's face is too expressive. I don't like it. Should we just have him removed?
That would just draw attention. Let's see how this plays out.
This isn't good. He knows when the president is lying. His face is doing Snopes' work in real time.
The camera loves him. He's so photogenic.
Which means he's distracting. You're not a Hollywood casting director, Little White.
I wish I was. Then all James Bonds and Ghostbusters would look like they're supposed to.
Focus.
The bearded teenager just took off his MAGA hat and offered it to Plaid Shirt.
He's shaking his head no.
This isn't good.
Now he's doing something with his shirt. Not paying attention. I can't tell. Trump's blocking it.
Get out of the way, Mr. President. We need to see what Plaid Shirt is doing.
That's a problem. We should be wanting to watch the president.
I don't care. What are you doing, Plaid Shirt?
He put something on his shirt. Enhance.
We don't have that technology.
No one does.
I've seen that logo before. It's taken me to a dark place. It's making me think of a world where black votes aren't suppressed and immigrants get free health care.
Democratic Socialists!
Get him out of there.
What do we do? What do we do?
I need the prettiest brunette campaign worker you can find. Tell her to take his place. Have security ready.
Why brunette?
So that maybe to someone she'll look like she might be...
Like she might be part something.
Precisely.
Hey, he just laughed at the president.
What? Why? At what?
No idea. All Trump said was, nobody's ever had an economy like we have.
Oh God, he knows stupid bullshit. When he hears it, we've got to get him out of there yesterday.
What about the friends? Beardy guy hasn't put his MAGA hat back on, and the girl is hardly clapping at all.
Fine, get me three.
Three brunettes? You know the president prefers...
Fine, she can be blonde. Just get her in there.
I'll try, but the pretty ones keep quitting for some reason.
Just do it.
If you need a pretty Trump supporter, my mama could go in there.
Fine, call her.
This is a disaster.
We're all gonna get fired.
Well, there's a bright side at least.
She's on her way.
The brunette is in. Plaid shirt is leaving.
This looks really bad. It's so obvious what we're doing.
We have to. Why are the other two still up there?
All right, I have a blonde getting her makeup on. She'll be out in a minute.
I don't give a shit about makeup. Just get her out there.
What?
I'm sorry. I'm not thinking. Of course, she needs to have tons of makeup on.
My mom texted. She's almost there.
There she is. Pretty blonde.
And there's my pretty mom.
She looks like she screams racial slurs at anybody with a tan.
She does.
We didn't give the pretty ladies any signs or hats or anything.
They didn't want to mess up their hair. And a sign would block those sexy figures.
The goddamn point is for people to pay attention to the president, not two pretty ladies who definitely look like they're being paid to be there.
We've failed. We have failed in every way.
Hey, it's not all bad. I mean, sure, our entire job here is to make the picture behind Trump look good, and sure, it looks really bad today. We didn't get any coloreds, except maybe one part one. They all look pretty enthusiastic, and now the leftists have an image they can use to represent how any informed person feels when Trump is talking.
So what's the good part?
Look at my mom. She's having a great time.
Get out. You're fired. You're all fired. I'm firing myself. We're fired. Let's go home.
As part of our ongoing commitment to accurately reporting the things we make up, Barely Audible Whisper would like to issue a correction.
In both of the segments we have done on Maria Butina, the alleged Russian spy under indictment for infiltrating the NRA, Barely Audible Whisper made jokes about Butina trading sex for an influential job in a Republican political organization. Our jokes were based on real reports that characterized Butina's offers for sex for a political position as a real bribe, but subsequent reporting has proven that Butina's offer was actually intended as a joke.
In accordance with our editorial policy, Barely Audible Whisper makes jokes about things that are not jokes, but we do not make jokes about things that are already jokes.
For more jokes about the real news surrounding the trial of Maria Butina, Barely Audible Whisper turns to former playmate Karen McDougall, whose desperate desire to be taken seriously is so genuinely not a joke that we can safely make jokes about her.
Barely Audible Whisper employs Karen McDougall as a correspondent because, as a part of her $150,000 agreement with American Media Incorporated, she was promised but never received work as a journalist. We are giving McDougall an opportunity she is not qualified for, but was promised as a result of sleeping with a rich man, because feminism is dead.
Hello, I'm Karen McDougall, and I'm at a place in my life where I do journalism stuff because I used to be at a place in my life where I was having an affair with Donald Trump, which I feel guilty about. But not so guilty that I didn't take $150,000 to shut up about it, because I was at a place in my life where I wanted $150,000.
Republican operative did me favor. Asked how I would repay him. I say sex. It was joke.
That was Maria Butina, who I interviewed, because interviews are journalism stuff, and I'm at a place in my life where I do journalism stuff. During my journalism interview with Maria Butina, I learned she is in a place in her life where she is in prison awaiting trial for conspiracy against the United States.
It's funny, right? I say sex. Sex is funny joke in America.
I have no way of knowing if that is true because I am not in a place in my life where I understand jokes.
Trust me, it's very funny. If there's one thing Russians are famous for, it is hilarious Russian comedy jokes.
Donald Trump, who I loved, which I feel guilty about, doesn't laugh. One of the things I miss most about being with him, which I feel guilty about, like really, really guilty, is not laughing. We would spend entire afternoons together, not laughing the way lovers do. When those lovers are at a place in their lives when they don't understand jokes.
I have boyfriend who I love. I tell judge I am not flight risk because I love my boyfriend so much I would never leave him. Because love.
I know all about love because I used to be at a place in my life where I loved a married man, which I feel guilty about. And he said he loved me, which made me feel good, even though I also felt guilty. But now I think he didn't really love me because he has been at a place in his life for his entire life where he only loves himself.
Love can be difficult, but I believe love is worth it because true love gets you out of prison.
I did research, which is journalism stuff, which I do because I'm at a place in my life where I do journalism. And according to my journalism research, you were only pretending to be at a place in your life where you loved your boyfriend, because you were really at a place in your life where you did Russian spy stuff. Like pretending to be at a place in your life where you loved your boyfriend who was at a place in his life which made him an asset because he was at a place in his life where he had contacts to Republican officials who were valuable to your place in your life where you did Russian spy stuff.
I provided judge with a video of my boyfriend and I lip-syncing to the theme of Beauty and the Beast.
As part of our ongoing commitment to not making jokes about things that are already jokes, Barely Audible Whisper would like to point out that Maria Butina submitting video of her and her boyfriend lip-syncing the theme to Beauty and the Beast to the judge as proof that she loves her boyfriend is not a joke.
It's funny, but it's not a joke.
If I didn't really love boyfriend, how do you explain cute, loving, not at all awkward eye contact I make with boyfriend in video?
As part of my journalism research, which I do now because I'm at a place in my life where I do journalism stuff, I watched the video, and it reminded me of when I was at a place in my life where I was having an affair with Donald Trump, which I feel guilty about. I would look at him lovingly, even though he was married, which made me feel guilty. Like, so guilty. But he bought me something expensive, so I would look at him lovingly, but he would get bored and grab me by the pussy, which made me feel guilty, but also the new owner of something expensive.
That is beautiful. True love means receiving payment for sexual favors.
Earlier in our journalism interview, which is journalism stuff, which I do now because I'm at a place in my life where I do journalism stuff, you said that you said sexual favors were a joke, but you just said that sexual favors are part of love, which is not a joke. But those two things contradict each other, and I know about contradictions about love because I used to be at a place in my life where I loved a married man, which made me feel really guilty. Like, really, really guilty. But not so guilty I quit accepting the expensive stuff. And as someone who is now at a place in my life where she does journalism stuff, who used to be at a place in my life where I was having an affair, which made me feel really guilty, I have a journalism question. Because I'm at a place in my life where I do journalism stuff. Which is it?
I don't understand what you're asking. Your question was more long-winded and rambling than Russian literature.
I don't know what that means. Journalism stuff is hard.
That's what he said. I make a joke.
Which leads me back to my journalism question, which I ask because I'm at a place in my life where I do journalism, and journalism questions are journalism stuff. Which is it? Is sex for favors a joke? Or is it spy stuff that you do because you're at a place in your life where you do spy stuff?
It's...
Yay! You can't give a straight answer to my journalism question, which means I did good at journalism.
Actually, I cannot answer a question because, conveniently for me, I just remembered I cannot talk to journalists because the judge imposed a gag order.
Journalism stuff is hard.
That's what he said. Also, there's joke here somewhere about gag order.
I am not at a place in my life where I understand jokes, but I am at a place in my life where I do journalism stuff. So I did research, which is journalism stuff, which I do now because I'm at a place in my life where I do journalism stuff. And in my journalism research, I learned about the gag order that was imposed by the judge because you are going to trial because you pled not guilty to the charges of spy stuff. But I also learned that the word gag is related to the gag reflex, which is triggered during oral sex stuff because I don't know what that means. Because when I did oral sex stuff with Donald Trump, who I loved, even though it made me feel guilty, his penis never made past my taste buds.
Following a story from The Hill that he, quote, regularly considers leaving the Republican Party, Republican Senator Ben Sasse said on CNN's State of the Union with Jake Tapper that, quote, I think about leaving the GOP every morning when I wake up.
Senator Sasse, a consistent Trump critic who consistently does whatever Trump wants, has consistently considered actions he consistently never takes.
For more on this story, Barely Audible Whisper sat down for an interview with Senator Sasse over lunch.
I am speaking to Nebraska Republican Senator Ben Sasse about... I'm joking!
I'm giving serious and regular consideration to helping you.
Joking! Need help!
I just think about saving people who are choking to death every morning when I wake up.
Joking!
Obviously, I'm opposed to journalists choking to death. After all, freedom of the press is an invaluable asset to a thriving democracy. On the other hand, I believe that free press has a responsibility not to choke. The American people deserve fair and honest reporting from journalists whose reporting is not affected by their choking.
I'm begging you.
I am giving careful consideration to serious thought to the Heimlich maneuver.
The Heimlich maneuver induces abortions.
I disagree with Supreme Court nominee Judge Kavanaugh, who's been conveniently eating lunch at the table next to me this whole time. Well, the American people deserve better than a Supreme Court justice who doesn't seem to understand what induces an abortion.
I thought you were going to vote to confirm me.
I will, but that doesn't mean that I'm not regularly considering voting against you.
Just because I said the Heimlich maneuver induces abortions doesn't mean I believe the Heimlich maneuver induces abortions. It just means I believe in the right of the people to believe that the Heimlich maneuver induces abortions if their religion teaches them that the Heimlich maneuver induces abortions.
You hair-splitting bastard.
That kind of incivility on the part of the people who are choking is detrimental to our discourse. The American people are tired of being talked down to by people who are choking to death.
The Heimlich maneuver is a modern form of slavery.
Ben Carson, where did you come from?
I have been eating lunch with you this whole time. People only notice me when I say something crazy.
Noticing Ben Carson induces abortions.
Choking, like poverty, is a state of mind.
The Heimlich maneuver encourages people who are choking to rely on other people to save them from choking rather than to stop their own choking by choosing not to choke.
I am a strong conservative in the mold of Ronald Reagan, but I still believe the American people want to be helped when they are choking.
Administering the Heimlich maneuver will only encourage people who are not choking to choke.
Be that as it may, I am going to take a courageous stand. I'm going to officially release a statement condemning choking.
So, you're going to help me?
No, I'm giving serious, strong, sober, deliberative, thoughtful, careful, and regular consideration to helping you.
The Constitution does not specifically mention the right to receive the Heimlich maneuver.
Help!
Rest assured, my loyalty is to the American people. And as an American person, I will never stop considering helping you. But first, I have to draft my bold anti-choking statement. Can I borrow your notepad? You don't appear to be using it, so...
Obama!
I just walked into this restaurant and, noticed that this woman is, choking. I better, save her. Let me be clear. It is not, unprecedented for a former president to step in and, save someone from choking. But let me be clear. I cannot sit idly by while a bunch of Republicans allow a reporter to, choke to death. Let me be clear that this is not what America is about.
Thanks, Obama!
Don't choke! Vote!
In response to a scathing editorial published by the New York Times in which an anonymous, high-ranking Trump administration official portrayed President Trump as an impulsive, unhinged authoritarian, President Trump publicly demanded that the New York Times hand the anonymous author over to the Justice Department.
Because there's no better defense against the accusation of being impulsive, unhinged authoritarian like behaving like an impulsive, unhinged authoritarian.
Barely Audible Whisper obtained a recording of a high-level Oval Office meeting to get a closer look at President Trump's impulsive, unhinged authoritarian attempts at figuring out who called President Trump an impulsive, unhinged authoritarian.
As always, our Trump impersonator is a woman because we hear he hates that.
I don't know what you're upset about, Mr. President. Your impulsive, unhinged authoritarianism is my favorite thing about you.
Thank you for complimenting me, Stephen Miller. That's why Stephen Miller is Trump's favorite Muppet.
We all feel that way, Mr. President. It says so in the letters of effusive praise that you forced us all to write.
John Kelly is right. Trump is the best impulsive, unhinged authoritarian. Nobody is better at impulsive, unhinged authoritarianism than Trump. Everybody who works here loves me. It says so in the letters I made you all write about how much you love me. Isn't that right, Kellyanne Conway?
You are the twinkle in my twitchy eye.
Now that we've put that behind us, let's all get down to business.
K.
Can you believe what Anaminam said about me, Anaminamously? Anaminly said that I get distracted at meetings and go off on repetitive off-topic rants. I did such a great job at Puerto Rico. Nobody did a better job at anything than Trump did at Puerto Rico. Paper towels! Paper towels!
Speaking of Puerto Rico, there's another serious hurricane rapidly approaching, and I think that we could do an even better job with disaster relief on this hurricane than we did in Puerto Rico if we did our job.
Can you believe what Antipathy said about me, Antipathemilessly? Anthropology said that I get distracted at meetings and go off on repetitive off-topic rants. I did such a great job at Puerto Rico. Nobody did a better job at anything than Trump did at Puerto Rico. Paper towels! Paper towels!
I don't know what the hell 68% of Americans are complaining about. This is awesome!
The polling data is fake. Everyone knows liberal pollsters oversample people who correlate cause with effect.
The failing New York Times shouldn't be allowed to use Inagavadavida sources that publish things Inagavadavidously.
Mr. President, if you could please focus for just 1 minute on disaster relief.
There's no point. I stole almost $10 million from the FEMA budget and diverted it to fund internment camps for immigrant children.
That's true. Trump actually diverted $10 million from FEMA to pay for child internment camps. I love him so much. Loving Trump is the only human emotion I've ever felt.
The only one saying nice things about me is Nazi Puppet.
Sieg Heil!
I hereby suspect the rest of you are Any Which Way But Loose who wrote Any Which Way But Loosely bad things about moi.
Lying for you is the greatest privilege of my life. It is totally worth the loss of all voluntary control of the muscles in my eye.
Mr. President, you are indeed great. In fact, you are so great that you're about to do such a great job focusing on our plan for disaster relief.
Can you believe what Onomatopoeia said about me, Onomatopoeia-mamalously? Annie, get your guns, said that I get distracted at meetings and go off on repetitive off-topic rants. I did such a great job at Puerto Rico. Nobody did a better job at anything than Trump did at Puerto Rico. Paper towels! Paper towels!
Paper towels! I hate everything so much. I love this.
An amorphous blob wrote an amorphous blobulously that I make rash, uninformed decisions that endanger national security. Well, Annie M. didn't count on me declaring war on Narnia.
War on Narnia, Mr. President?
Don Jr. asked me to declare war on Narnia because he hates lions.
Look over there, Mr. President. It's, shirtless Vladimir Putin getting pissed on by hookers.
Ooh, where? Where? I love Vladimir Putin. Vladdy!
Quick, help me steal all the documents off his desk while he's distracted.
I love hooker urine. Yum, yum, yum.
Mr. President, they tricked you. They're stealing documents off your desk.
Yeah, tattletale.
Screw you guys. This is exactly what I signed up for.
Fake news, mind muppet. Nobody can trick Trump because Trump is the trick or and the treat.
But
you're anaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminaminamina anonymously protect your anonymity.
But I really do love every insane thing you do.
It's too late. I'm on to you, Anonymous. That didn't sound right. No one is to ever admit that I mispronounced an honor to be nominated. I hereby declare that Mangala Muppet is my least favorite Muppet. Even less favorite than Ralph, who I suspect is a black.
Thank you so much for listening to Barely Audible Whisper. This week we were actually able to get the entire regular cast together.
Yay!
That's writer, co-host, and producer Dave Baldwin, co-host Molly Brown, writer and actor Daniel Carter Brown, actors Emily Sams Brown, Corey Burns, Robin Ward, and Michael Morgan. Please subscribe to us and follow us and share us with all your friends. We appreciate all of your support. You are wonderful.
Anonymity.
Hubris.